Good morning, everyone. I'm Lachlan Johnston, the Director of Media and Communications at AMP, and welcome to AMP's full year 2016 results. I'm joined by Craig Miller, Chief Executive of AMP, and Gordon Lefebvre, our Chief Financial Officer. Craig will take you through the results, and afterwards, both Craig and Gordon will be available to answer any questions that you may have. Please register to ask questions as per the instructions you've received. The moderator will let you know when it's your turn to ask your question. Thanks very much for that, and over to you, Craig.
Great, thanks, Lachlan, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Let me outline the main points of today's announcement, and then we'll go to Q&A, starting with our group results. And I'm sure you'll have seen that, as foreshadowed, we announced a significant fall in underlying profits, down 57% to $486 million, and a bottom-line loss of $344 million. The numbers were the results of the actions we took to reset and stabilise our wealth protection business, announced at our third quarter update in October. It was clearly a tough year, but what we should also recognise is that our financial position is very strong. We've maintained our dividend at 14 cents, and today announced we're returning up to $500 million of capital to investors via an on-market share buyback. This speaks to our capital strength and resilience. The wealth protection result masks the strong performances in our portfolio, particularly AMP Capital, AMP Bank, and New Zealand. Our wealth management business had a solid year, managing through tough market conditions and a changing regulatory environment. Total assets under management and administration for the group rose by 6% to $250 billion. And we also demonstrated our ability to manage costs. Our three-year $200 million efficiency savings program completed in 2016, and we've immediately announced a new efficiency target for 2017 to lower controllable costs by 3% in the business, exempting AMP Capital, which has its own cost target. We're reorganising internally. This started with the leadership team, as we announced in November, and this restructure is aimed at reducing costs and speeding up delivery of our plans. The costs of the restructuring have been booked in 2016 as we started work on this last year. So we're driving hard to improve short-term performance while continuing to invest for growth in the long term. Now let me take you through the highlights from our business units, starting with wealth management. As mentioned, volatile markets and regulatory uncertainty meant investors were wary of topping up their super, and our advisors had another raft of regulation to absorb. This impacted wealth management cash flows, particularly through the middle of the year. However, we started to see some early signs of recovery in the fourth quarter, with discretionary contributions picking up as the new super legislation passed in November and the new regulatory environment started to settle. And this points to an improved outlook for 2017. We also worked hard on efficiency, reducing controllable costs by $13 million to manage the ongoing margin compression in the business. Operating earnings were $401 million, down just 2%, which in the circumstances was a solid result. I also want to comment on our advisor network as we made some changes this year. At the end of 2015, we had just above 3,600 advisors within our network, most of whom are self-employed, operating their own business licenses, but licensed by AMP. Last year, the number of advisors in the network at a total fell by about 570. And this is something that we've deliberately driven by tightening our classification of authorised representatives. In simple terms, we decided our advisor count should be the people actually giving advice to our customers, rather than people with an authorised representative status. That therefore excludes people like accountants who provide audit or other services and paraplanners in practices who support an advisor. Secondly, we also saw a higher than usual number of advisors who've decided to retire early or leave the industry. And we think that's not surprising, given the increasing professional standards and education required to be an advisor. Those two groups accounted for over 90% of those who left. We don't expect the fall in advisor numbers to materially impact future cash flows. Many of those advisors who've left had not contributed to cash flows in the past 2 years. And we also know 2016 has been a tough environment for our advisors, with the uncertainty and the regulatory change. And our focus in 2017 will be on helping them improve processes and productivity, enabling them to spend more time with their customers. Moving to AMP Capital. AMP Capital also operated in volatile markets last year, but performance was solid with particularly strong results from our infrastructure and property businesses. Operating earnings rose 4% to $144 million, and average assets under management rose to $160 billion. The uncertainty impacted our external net cash flows, which were lowered at around $1 billion for the year, but we did see some strong investor appetite for infrastructure and property funds. We also saw decent flows into our joint venture business with China Life, we know it as CLAMP, particularly in the second half. In fact, our partnerships with China Life through CLAMP and with the China Life Pension Company continue to thrive. CLAMP is growing quickly, and CLPC is a market leader in trustee services and top three for investment management in China. And so to wealth protection. The major impact here was the actions we announced at our update in October. To recap, we had seen a significant deterioration throughout the year in claims experience. We took the decision to reset the business, take the pain associated with that, and reduce the impact wealth protection would have on future group earnings. That includes changing our best estimate assumptions and taking a significant capitalised loss and goodwill write-down. We also entered into an agreement to reinsure 25% of our total life risk exposure, and the reinsurance will reduce our profit margins in wealth protection, but it also released $500 million of capital, which gave us the capacity to do the buyback. In effect, we've taken the decision to realise value for shareholders in a different way. We also consolidated our two life insurance books, AMP Life and NMLA Life. This is called a Part 9 transaction, and this also released $145 million of capital. The actions taken have stabilised the wealth protection business, but we posted an operating loss of $415 million for 2016, and that's what's impacted our group results. This was clearly disappointing, but this business is now on a more sustainable footing. Okay, now to AMP Bank, and this is a great story. Operating profits are up 15% to $120 million. Our net interest margin is wider, and residential mortgages and deposits are growing at above system rates, and we're competing well in the marketplace. We're continuing to invest in the business, improving its capability, and we believe there's significant potential for further growth. We also had a good year in New Zealand. The business delivered good growth in profit margins, the result of a strong performance in wealth management and good cost control. And it did so while offsetting the full impact of transitional tax relief. So to summarise, strong performance for AMP Capital, AMP Bank and New Zealand, resilient results from wealth management, and poor performance from wealth protection, which clouded the group result. We've acted to stabilise that and taken the pain in these numbers. But we're paying an unchanged dividend funded by our cash flows. We're returning $500 million to shareholders, and our financial position is strong. Early signs for 2017 are positive, but we're focused on improving short-term performance while investing for the future. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Lachlan, to take the Q&A.
Thanks very much, Craig. So we'll turn to Q&A. We ask that you avoid using a speakerphone if it's possible, as it can be difficult for us to hear in the room. Operator, can we have the first question, please?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Annie Kane with Momentum Media. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I'm representing the Advisor magazine, which looks at mortgage broking. And I noticed in the presentation it says that brokers have delivered growth this year. I wondered, firstly, if you would be able to tell me how much they're responsible for and whether broker numbers have grown and to how many. And further, what your broker policy for increasing growth looks like for future.
Sorry, the call's not coming through clearly. We can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah, that's a little bit louder. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm writing for the Advisor about mortgage broking, and I noticed in the presentation it says that a lot of the home loan growth for AMP Bank has come through the broker channel, and it increased this year. I wondered if you knew, firstly, how much of the sort of residential mortgage book brokers were responsible for, and secondly, how you're going to be targeting the broker channel in future.
So we're expecting to have continued strong growth in the broker channel going forwards. the amount of mortgages that are originated through the broker channel would be more than half of the mortgages originated by AMP Bank. We've got very strong relationships across the industry and expect very good growth there going forwards.
Can I ask a follow-up question quickly? We're seeing some banks stopping refinancing of investor loans, and I wondered if AMP would be taking a similar track this year.
Sorry, I didn't catch that one either.
Sorry. So we're seeing some banks, such as CBA and Bank West, stopping their refinancing of investor loans. AMP be doing the same thing this year?
We made some moves a week or so ago. If you look at the background to those actions, the macroprudential regulations that are being placed upon the industry are essentially putting a speed limit on the amount of growth in investor loans that the banking industry as a whole can achieve. When large players take actions to slow their book, unless AMP Bank takes actions accordingly, it could blow our business up with very significant increases in volume. So as we see the market environment changing, so we'll be adjusting our approach in response to what we're seeing in the marketplace more generally.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes for Georgina Wilkes with Fairfax Media. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. So I just wanted to ask about the Wealth Protection Division. So when you take the loss and the goodwill write down together, it's almost a billion-dollar reversal. How did you sort of get this so wrong? I mean, what happened in 2016 that was sort of accentuated these problems inside the division?
So the impacts that were directly related to 2016 was a significant increase that we saw in claims during the course of the year, and this led to what we call experience losses that were just over $100 million for the year. That caused us to review what we believed the future margins in that business would be, and because of the requirements of accounting for life insurance in Australia, for those parts of our business where we expect them to make losses into the future, we have to book all of those losses immediately. So, if you like, the very significant capitalized losses and the write-down of the goodwill were a function of our view of the change in the future margins in this industry going forwards as a result of ongoing high levels of claims, and because it's a very competitive industry, particularly with the introduction of a number of international players.
Just a quick follow-up, if I can. I mean, obviously, a lot of there's, you know, speculation that some financial service companies are selling down their wealth protection and life insurance. Would that be something that you consider? So
we're looking to find the best way that we can to maximise value for our shareholders across all of our business. On the wealth protection business, the strategy that we've articulated is to reduce our shareholders' capital exposure to that business principally through the use of reinsurance. You'll see from the transaction that we completed in the latter half of last year, we freed up $500 million of capital that we're announcing we'll be giving back to shareholders through an on-market buyback. So we think we've got the best strategy for the time being.
Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Maggie Liu with Merger Market. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Craig and Gordon. I have two questions for Craig, if I can. The first one is regarding the reported a bid for campus living villages. Do you have any comment on that? And if yes, what's the rationale behind that for AMP to entering that student accommodation area? And second question is regarding your Chinese business in China and your outlook for that. And it's obviously you are very positive about your growth in China. I wonder if you would be potentially interested in the assets ANZ is still having in China, because everyone knows they're trying to pull out of China and Asia. Thank you.
Okay, so on the first question, you'll see from our results that we're very actively and strongly growing both in the areas of infrastructure and real estate, particularly direct real estate. I'm not going to comment on any particular actions that we're taking, but clearly those are growth areas and very significant growth areas for AMP Capital. With regards to our growth in China, we have a very strong relationship with China Life. Our absolute focus is the strengthening and the extending of that relationship. You know, they're very much a country champion in China, and we're very proud and delighted with the relationship that we have with China Life.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ruth Liu with Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Craig, hi. I've just got a couple of questions for you. The first one has to do with the controllable costs that were mentioned. So you're looking to cut 3% of controllable costs this year. I was wondering if you'd be able to shed a bit more color on what these costs are and how much will come from headcount reduction across the group in 2017.
Okay, thanks, Ruth. I might ask Gordon to cover that one.
Good morning, Ruth. The costs will essentially come from reducing the spans and layers that we have across the organisation. So they'll be reorganising ourselves to respond appropriately in a changed marketplace. We started at the back end of 2016 with an announcement that you would have seen coming out from Craig in relation to his team and the setup of that team, where essentially we skinnied down the team and we have more direct line of sight to the lines of business and accountability for delivery. The same will apply across the rest of the organisation as we move to implement the plans that we had in place at the back end of 2016. So essentially, Ruth, it's around reduction of spans and layers to give rise to a more agile and efficient operating model and organisation design that follows that.
So the majority of the 3% will come from headcount reduction. Would that be fair to say?
That would be fair to say.
Okay, excellent. And the second question that I have is about AMP's wealth protection business, Craig, that you said is now on a more sustainable footing. How can you reassure investors that the worst is definitely behind them when they've been disappointed year after year with the performance of the wealth protection division?
Well, Ruth, the changes that we've made to our assumptions going forwards are really a reflection of the performance that we've seen in 2016. In changing best estimate assumptions, traditionally the industry would look at the average over a period of years. We've looked at the changes in the industry that we've seen during the course of 16, decided they're structural, and reset accordingly, which is why the headline numbers are so significant. We're confident that the changes that we've made have reset the business. We've also been reducing shareholder capital that's exposed to our business. So it's a smaller business as a part of AMP, and we're de-risking it from a shareholder perspective.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Tony Boyd with Australian Financial Review. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Craig, you noted in the appendices, I suppose you'd call it, of the PowerPoint presentation today, that there's some big changes in regulation on superannuation. Do you expect a big inflood of cash flows as a result of this cap being introduced from July this year, this $1.6 million?
Certainly, Tony, if you look at in the guts of the presentation, I think it's chart 7, it shows the change that we've seen in discretionary member contributions from 15 to 16 and how there was a significant improvement in the fourth quarter of the year, which coincided with the revised announcements to the superannuation legislation. We think the announcements that the government have made around the changes to superannuation are measured in an environment where we're running a significant fiscal deficit, but also are creating an environment that allows those people who are able to save enough to lift themselves out of reliance on the state in the pension will be able to do so. And so we very much support the approach that the government's taking. But yes, the summary to it is We're expecting to see some increase, and that's part of the strong recovery we're expecting in the wealth management business.
And just a quick second question, Craig. Obviously, you're pulling every lever you can to get your flows into the North platform, which is, you know, reflected in the way, you know, negative cash flows externally and positive into North. Can you say what proportion of products on the North platform that are advised by your network are actually AMP products?
So if you look at the North platform, the money going into North, Tony, around about 60 or 70% of the flows into North go on to be managed by AMP Capital, and about 30% directly into shares or to external fund managers. But then if you look at the vast majority of that 70%, those advisors have chosen, if you like, to outsource the selection of appropriate funds for clients to invest in to a group that we call our multi-asset group. So much of that 70% then goes on to be managed by external fund managers chosen by the professionals within AMP Capital.
Okay, so at the end of the day, how much do you end up getting in your own AMP brands?
I haven't got the direct number to my head, Tony, but it would be in the sort of 20 to 30% mark.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Larissa Watson with Momentum Media. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. My question is around your advisor network and the fall in advisors over the year. Your document to the ASX reveals that you lost around 600 financial advisors over the year. The vast majority of these were from major dealer groups like Hillross and AMP Financial Planning. My question was just seeking a comment on why AMP would seek to deliberately remove these advisors when it markets itself as Australia's largest financial planner.
Yeah, well, so we still have the largest financial planning franchise in the country. As I said in my opening remarks, with the implementation of the ASIC register, it was quite clear that those people who are authorised to provide advice but choose not to are not going onto the ASIC register. So we made the decision to change the basis of our advisor account to only those advisors who are not just authorised representatives, but authorised representatives and providing advice today. That's the cause of the majority of the reduction in numbers.
Okay. And are there any other reasons for the exodus apart from the reasons that you've stated? You know, for example, did a number of them simply just become self-licensed or join independent dealer groups, which is a trend that we're seeing in other institutions?
Those numbers would be tiny compared to the two big numbers, which is the change basis and the retirees from the industry. As I say, those two together count for over 90% of the numbers.
Okay. And just my final question was just around the Jigsaw consultancy, which has seen a 50% reduction in numbers. Will AMP be closing that business?
No plans to close it at the moment, but we'll keep that under review.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jamie Freed with Reuters. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Just had a few questions about wealth protection. First of all, I think there's a mention of another tranche of reinsurance. I was wondering sort of how big that'll be and why you didn't do that with the last one.
So the next tranche we're looking to put in place reinsurance arrangements for would be the old NMLA portfolio, which is, because of the merger of the life companies, now a second AMP Life portfolio. These are big transactions in the reinsurance industry. We're going about it in a measured process, but we also needed to complete the merger of the two life companies before we could even consider the second tranche.
Okay. And, you know, ANZ is looking to sell their wealth management arm as well as their life insurance arm. You know, do you have any interest in the ANZ wealth assets?
Well, our view on inorganic growth for our business is very clear. It would have to be on strategy. It would have to be within our risk appetite. and it would have to be economically very accretive for our shareholders. I'm not going to make any comments on any individual deal, but if I looked at areas where we may be interested, you can see that wealth protection is an area where we're looking to reduce our shareholder exposure, not increase it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sally Patton with the Australian Financial Review. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My question is around the self-managed fund business. I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about how that has perhaps increased its contribution towards earnings, and if so, by how much? And can you tell us a little bit about how you've gone at selling products into the self-managed fund market?
Yeah. Thanks for that, Sally. We think our SMSF business is going very well. There are two components to it after we've made a series of acquisitions over the past 3 or 4 years. The first is providing a software service, which is essentially the general ledger accounting for self-managed super funds. And the second is to carry out full administration. And we're one of the few players that can play on both sides of that marketplace. The cost base of that business last year increased because we're going through the process of integrating these series of acquisitions and putting everything onto one IT platform. The growth in the software funds has been very strong. Growth in administration funds at an underlying level has been strong. We tend to lose some administration accounts when we make an acquisition, but all the acquisitions we've made have met our budget retention levels. So we're very optimistic about the go-forward outlook for that business and expect it to start making a contribution to the group end of this year, beginning of next year.
And are you still looking at trying to sell sort of product? I think you're talking about trying to sell sort of infrastructure style products and products that self-managed funds don't get a lot of ready access to.
Yep. So the sort of portal that comes with part of the software service, we'll be making a broad range of products, not just AMP products, available to the self-managed super fund clients. We've had a very strong take-up of AMP Bank cash management accounts. We've had a little flow from AMP Capital, but we'd expect the general flows for AMP and for other external partners there to grow over time.
Thank you. And just one question on the wealth management, the wealth protection business. I don't know, at what point in it's on some future point do you think that business will actually start to lift profits for investors? Are we sort of talking in 3 or 5 years' time that actually might make a more meaningful contribution, or do you think it's just going to flatline basically from the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, our focus for the time being is on ensuring that it delivers the margins that we've guided to and that we continue to complete the reinsurance arrangements that allows us to free up capital to invest elsewhere or return to our shareholders.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Peter Ryan with ABC. Please go ahead.
G'day, Craig. Thanks for taking the question. Quick question about scrutiny by ASIC and the government about behaviour among life insurers. What are your concerns about that, and do you feel that AMP has a clean bill of health on that front at the moment?
So thank you for the question. We put in place a revamp of our claims operations, started that 2 or 3 years ago, cognizant of the fact that the community's expectations of life insurers were changing. We think we've made good progress with regards to that. We're very happy to talk to the government and the regulator about those processes and those changes and be held to account to the way that we deal with our customers and claimants in the industry appropriately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Pash with Business Insider. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Back to the wealth protection. You say there's been a significant increase in claims, but why is that? And why was it so sudden? It appears just to come out of nowhere. There must be underlying causes of this.
Yeah, so it was quite a significant change in 2016. I think it's probably a coincidence of a number of things coming together. Clearly, there was significant external scrutiny of the industry that heightened people's awareness of life insurance generally. That tends to lead to an increase in change. I think the changing laws around workers' compensation, CTP, tends to mean you get higher levels of flow on claims into the life insurance sector. I think the improvement in the capacity for the health industry to diagnose illnesses have meant that illnesses that, that historically may not have been picked up are now being picked up and claims made under trauma policies. The changing nature of mental health and diagnosis of mental health, there's a whole series of factors that I think have come together to deliver that change.
Just quickly, is it because you've got an older customer population, if you like, and as you get older, which I'm finding out myself, the insurance costs increase quite quickly, and then they tend to drop them. Is that a factor as well?
So an older population will claim more, but that's why your premiums are higher when you're older. The basis upon which you price and set your assumptions assumes different levels of claims for different age cohorts. What we've seen is a more broadly based increase in the level of claims generally.
Yes.
My
point was that, as people get older, they tend to ditch their life insurance. Have you found that happening?
Well, so people's needs do tend to reduce as they get older as well. As you age, so your kids leave home, you don't have the sort of same potential liabilities. You may have paid some of your mortgage off or all of your mortgage off, and so it's quite natural to see during their lifetime someone's level of insurance and requirements increase, typically sort of peaking mid to late 40s and then starting to decrease after that.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Marla Vicker with Money Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Craig. Thank you for taking the question. My question was about AMP reducing advisor numbers in 2016. I was just wondering if there were any more planned cuts in 2017. And in regards to advisors leaving due to increased education standards, I was wondering how many advisors who remain are on the education pathway and undertaking further courses?
So thank you for the question. There'll be an elevated number of retirements from the industry going through to the first half of this year, but we've completed the process of revamping our Horizons training program for advisors, so we expect that to cover the higher levels in the first half of the year. We're working on the basis that all of the advisors that work with AMP are going to achieve the educational requirements as required once the legislation is implemented and we know the timeframes for delivery.
Sir, do you have any numbers of how many might leave in 2017?
Oh, no, we don't have that data.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Well, thank you very much, operator. If there's no further questions, we'll just thank everyone for joining us. If you have any questions or other inquiries, please don't hesitate to contact the AMP media team. So thank you very much, Craig and Gordon, and have a good day.